This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. What's your image of a philanthropist? Is it someone who's wealthy? Is it a man or a woman? The findings of a new study might surprise you. It shows an upswing in everyday people pooling their money together and giving as a group, especially women, people of color, and younger individuals. Nationwide, the number of giving circles has tripled since 2007, when the original study was done. In fact, a group of African-American women this year formed a giving circle in Kalamazoo. Today, we hear from that group and from two other local giving circles. But first, we talk to Grand Valley State University philanthropy professor Jason Franklin, who helped research and write the latest study that was released in 2017. Say your name and your title.
My name is Jason Franklin. I serve as the W.K. Kellogg Community Philanthropy Chair at the Johnson Center for Philanthropy at Grand Valley State University.
Define a giving circle.
Giving circles are a really growing phenomenon of when a group of people come together to pool their money and give that money out together to the causes, communities, or issues that they care about.
I read the term collective giving and that there's other forms. What are some of the other forms?
So collective giving is really the broader phrase we use to talk about all the ways that people pool money and move money together. Those include giving circles. They also include collective giving groups, which can be structured in different ways of different levels of authority over the giving. Sometimes you see collective giving groups where maybe 200 people contribute, but 20 people from that group actually then move the money out. It also includes funder or donor collaboratives, so more structured systems where often foundations and individual donors will pool their money together to give away, sometimes with staff, sometimes without.
Is the trend happening more outside the walls of a foundation?
Well, so we actually see the majority of giving circles, which is the form of collective giving I've looked at in most depth, are actually the majority of them are held within community foundations or other public foundations. So you see women's funds and LGBT funds and United Ways and Jewish federations all playing host to giving circles along with traditional community foundations. And a big driver for this has been these community foundations who are trying to figure out other ways to promote a culture of philanthropy within the community and ways to really connect with new donors, younger donors, donors of color, those who have traditionally not been part of a historical community foundation donor base.
I just wanted to make sure that I understood a point here.
Sure.
Is it just simply that the nature of your report only studied giving circles that are based within a foundation, or are you saying that the trend is to have those giving circles reside within a foundation?
Great question. So we looked at, tried to identify as many giving circles across the United States as we could, identified almost 1,600 giving circles across the country, and the majority of those giving circles are housed at a community foundation or another type of grant-making public charity.
Giving circles have tripled since the year 2007. Why have they risen in popularity?
Yeah, so we've seen a massive growth in giving circles and the number of circles, the number of people involved, the amount of money that they're giving. A lot of different reasons for why that growth. You know, part of it has been the efforts of community foundations to reach new donors and to launch giving circles as a way to recruit and engage new donors. But even more powerful has been, I think, really a desire for people to connect with one another. In this moment where we're living in the most digitally connected and yet psychologically isolating moment of modern history, what we hear from a lot of people who started giving circles is that they started them or they joined them because they wanted to connect with other people. They wanted to be able to give together, not just by themselves. They wanted to learn about what was going on in their community. So I think it's really a response of people trying to find connection.
The average giving amount by individual donors is decreasing, but the amounts being donated by these giving circles are increasing. What's that about?
Yeah, so we see that the average amount has been falling, and that really is because of the diversification. As you've seen this expansion of the number of circles, it's not surprising to see the average dollar amount go down as more and more people are involved. In fact, we're estimating that over 150,000 people have been engaged in giving circles. And while we do know some circles that give, where there's a couple that even have $1 million per person minimum, the majority are in the, $500 to $1,000 range or less per person.
Most of these giving circles are created around a particular race, age, religion, or some other identity. Had that always been the case?
That's always been the case, and it's just been growing. So giving circles actually have been particularly powerful and popular among women. Indeed, 70% of all giving circle members are women. We've also seen a real growth in giving circles within communities of color. And that is, there's a lot of questions around why are giving circles growing within communities of color. Part of it has been because of the effort from community foundations to engage more with donors of color. It's also been that there have been organizing efforts from Asian American Pacific Islanders in philanthropy and the Community Investment Network, which is principally working with the Black community, to start giving circles within their own communities. And you see it resonate with cultures of giving within these different communities, that you see the history of collective giving within the API community or African American or Latino communities that resonates with the form of a giving circle.
The Community Investment Network. Can you just describe briefly what it is?
So the Community Investment Network is a network of principally African American giving circles that got started in 2003 in the U.S. South. They actually support giving circles across the country, but they've been rooted in the South trying to build civic engagement and philanthropy within the Black community.
What's been the fastest growing identity group that's forming giving circles?
We don't know, because we don't have perfect data to say what the fastest growing group is. We know that women's giving circles are the dominant form of identity-based circles, but there's also a real intersection where we see the rise of Jewish circles and Black circles, Latino circles, Asian Pacific Islander circles, and women's circles is probably the five biggest identity groups. But then you see Black women's giving circles or Jewish women's giving circles. So you do see those intersections. We see also some emergence of LGBT circles, even a small but growing number of men's circles, which we've done a couple of those interviews and we've heard consistently from the men I've talked to, at least, said, yeah, my wife was involved in a circle or my mom was involved in a circle and I wanted to do it too. So it's, men following the lead of the women in their lives.
What is the overall number of circles?
Overall, we have identified 1,838 independent giving circles and giving circle chapters.
Got it. And of those that reported gender or race as a factor in their formation, that would be 706. Is that correct?
Yes. So of the 706 that reported gender identity,
right,
640 of the 706 were women.
And of the 706 giving circles that identified gender or race, 117 identified themselves as forming around race.
Yes.
And the further breakdown of that, 52 Asian Pacific Islander groups? And then 38 African Americans and 16 Latino groups?
Yep. And then 3 Arab American, 1 Native American, and 1 multiracial, if you're trying to get it to add up.
So if overall today it's a little over 1,800, what was the number in 2007 for the number of giving circles?
They identified 400 groups in 2007.
How did you all go about identifying the different groups? Because
sure.
I imagine many of them fall under the radar.
They do, and I will say in advance, we know we didn't find everybody.
Okay.
Indeed, after finishing the research, we've heard about more. So many of them are informal. if you and me and three other people decided, like, hey, we should get together for dinner, like, every quarter, and we'll each kick in $100 and then we'll give the money to a group that we find. That would be fun. That's a giving circle.
Absolutely.
Even if nobody but the five of us knew, and we just wrote checks and then put them in an envelope and mailed them to somebody. So in terms of how we found them, though, we identified there's actually almost 25 networks of giving circles around the country, like Community Investment Network, Latino Giving Circle Network, Impact 100, Dining for Women, etc. So we reached out to all of them. We reached out to every community foundation and Jewish Federation and United Way and Women's Foundation in the country to ask if they hosted any giving circles or if they knew of them. And then we did extensive web research.
The other thing that I was fascinated about is, let's see if I could find the term here. On your website, you indicate that giving circles are a powerful tool to democratize and diversify philanthropy. So I was curious, in the past, philanthropy, was it mostly a thing that white men did?
So what we know is that philanthropy is something that is done by almost 90%, more than 90% of the American populace. If you think about philanthropy as giving back or giving to others. However, we also know that philanthropy with a capital P, as large dollar giving that gets celebrated in the press and seen, has largely been the province of white wealthy families, because wealth maps onto race in this country. And so formal structural philanthropy has been very white and has been very male. And one of the things the giving circles provide is a way for women and people of color and young people and others to pool their resources to give larger dollars together, to be engaged in conversation about philanthropy in a more structured way, and to have new access to the conversation about what is happening in their community that they might not get otherwise.
And what do you think the impact of that is going to be? Like, how will it change society?
Yeah. One of the things we know is that when people from diverse backgrounds are present in the conversation itself changes. When you show up and talk about poverty or education or environmental protection, and people who have been living with the impacts of poverty, who've experienced firsthand the lack of investment in education, who've seen the environmental impacts of a lack of protection in their own community, the conversation around what the problem is and the brainstorming about what the solutions can be are different. And giving circles offer a way for new voices to enter into the philanthropic conversation. So I think what it'll mean will be a better and more nuanced understanding of the problems facing our society, and hopefully more interesting and innovative and honest exploration of how to address those.
You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. Today, we unpack a new study that shows the increasing popularity and diversification of giving circles. Next up, we talk to two Black women who launched Tendaji this year, giving more than $20,000 to charity. Say your name and your connection to Tendaji.
My name is Belinda Tate, and I am the co-founder of Tendaji. I am the executive director of the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, and I've been there since 2014.
My name is Sabrina Pritchett-Evans, and I am a co-founder of Tendaji, and I am with State Farm Insurance and Financial Services. I own an agency here in Kalamazoo for over 25 years, and one in South Haven, Michigan for 2.5 years.
The name of our organization is Tendaji, which is Swahili for makes things happen.
How did your group come about?
My friends Sabrina and I are committed to solving the problems of the world. So at 1 a.m. in IHOP, we were brainstorming about how we could together contribute more to the Kalamazoo community.
Now, take me to that moment at IHOP. We're going to do a quick reenactment, most especially the beginning part of the conversation.
I'm part of Women Who Care in Kalamazoo, and I have an idea. Why couldn't we do something like that in the African-American community with women of color?
You know, Sabrina, I've been thinking about the exact same thing, because there are so many leaders within the African-American community who just aren't getting the funding that they deserve for the kind of work they're doing on a grassroots level.
I know some people, you know some women. Let's make a list of people that we can invite.
I think that's a great idea. But let's also think about how much we're going to ask people to give. Not enough people know us as philanthropists, and I think that's important.
Yes, that is important. But if we can give $1,000 each woman, that can be a big impact. And if we can get up to 25 women, we're talking $25,000 and make a significant impact on a couple organizations a year.
Scene end. Why did you believe the group was needed?
I believe the group is needed because I'm involved in a lot of nonprofits in our community. And I know that we have women of color who do various projects and give. However, we never come together, or we're in different spots. So we are never seen as being a unified front. And it just made sense for us to show our faces as a group of women of color who care about our community, talk about caring about our community, and then support it through not only our words, but our dollars.
This group is needed because the wealth that exists in Kalamazoo doesn't always reach organizations who are working on a grassroots level.
How many members do you have?
We currently have 20 members. They represent industries such as financial services, education, human services, nonprofits, medical. We're across the board.
Let's talk about your grant process. How does that work?
The grant process is really simple. We invite a certain number of organizations to participate. They submit a two-sided, one-sheet grant application. We meet as a group of women. We discuss the merits of those applications. And then we select five organizations to come and give a 10-minute presentation about their needs and the anticipated impact our grant will have on their organization and the community.
I'd like you to speak a little bit about the organizations that you invite even to apply.
How we picked those groups were, initially for our inaugural year, we looked for nonprofits in the Kalamazoo area that were started by African Americans. It was important to us to say that we know that you're here, we care about the work that you're doing, and we support you.
We do anticipate that over time, we will select other groups to participate as well, as long as they represent our values of supporting and empowering the community.
Tindaji, we have a logo, and on that logo, there are three women. You can't tell what race they are, but there is a line above the hands. And the purpose of that line is to say, we support our community. We support the organizations that are doing great work in our community. Although, you know, everyone can't win, you have won already by what you're doing and by us recognizing you.
Some of these leaders are well recognized within the African American community, but they might not be recognized within the community at large. And their work is needed and valued, but sometimes their work goes under the radar.
What are the two groups that you did select, and why did you choose those?
The first group we chose is Merce Tate. Merce Tate, the leader is Sonia Hollins, and we recognize the work that Sonia has done in the community. Sonia grew up on the north side of Kalamazoo, which is primarily African American right now. She went to Western Michigan University. She discovered Merce Tate. And through that process, she started recruiting girls to introduce them to writing, to travel, and broadening their experiences to let them know that there is more than just your backyard. And we wanted to support her in that endeavor.
And you supported another group.
We also supported the BACC, the Black Arts and Cultural Center, and it is led by Yolanda Lavender, who is a wonderful leader within our community, who provides tremendous opportunities for African Americans to express themselves creatively through the visual and performing arts. The BACC, we think, is a safe space that nurtures the souls of people young and old, and it is an organization that is committed to preserving the history of African Americans in Kalamazoo.
One of the things about your group that's quite unique is the unrestricted grants that you're giving. Talk about the importance of that for the target audience that you're serving.
Yes. We want them to apply for whatever their need is, because we realize in a lot of grants that there's restrictions as to what you can or cannot do. And it may not go along sometimes with the mission of the organization.
What do you hope will come out of your effort?
We hope to put some wind beneath the wings of these organizations. These are small organizations with tiny budgets, and we hope that we can provide them with a little bit of fuel to help them grow and go further faster.
Something else that we're going to do, in addition to getting the dollars on the street, and that happens pretty immediately. So we choose the organizations on a Saturday. They get the money on the following Thursday. 6 months in, we are going to do a support visit. And it's not really to check in and say, what are you doing with our money? It's to say, how can we help you? We have a lot of women in our organization who are well connected in the community. What do you need? And where can we connect you with others to support your mission?
Thank you for joining us, ladies.
You're welcome, and we hope that this inspires others to do something similar to what we're doing in our community.
You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. Today, we talk to groups who personify a growing trend among giving circles. That is, the presence of more women and people of color and the younger generation. Next, we talk with a co-founder of the Women Who Care of Kalamazoo County chapter. It inspired at least four other chapters to start and encouraged two local Black women to start their own giving circle.
My name is Danielle Streed. I am one of three founding members of the Women Who Care of Kalamazoo County.
What is your profession?
I'm a local estate planning attorney here in Kalamazoo. I've been practicing in the estate planning area for 27 years. Women Who Care of Kalamazoo County was started in 2013. How this all came about is one of the founding members, Nancy Troff, and Patty Owens and I were at a gathering in 2012, and Nancy came to us knowing we were both, or all three of us were involved in the community, and we're well connected to a lot of women. So Nancy Troff, one of the founding members of the Women Who Care of Kalamazoo County, has a sister who was part of the Holland group of Women Who Care that had formed many years before ours in 2013. And through Nancy, through her sister, began to learn about what they were doing in the community in Holland. So in January of 2013, Nancy Troff, Patty Owens, and myself sat down and said, we need to do this in Kalamazoo County. We really didn't know how far this group extended. We didn't know that it was really all over the United States and in other countries at that point.
Do you know about how many groups they have now?
Oh, there's over 200, 250.
Really? Describe what your group is.
Our group consists of approximately 165 women that come together once a quarter, February, May, August, and November. What we do is we come together those four times a year at 5:30. the women that are members that have agreed to that quarterly commitment are offered an opportunity to submit or nominate a charity of their choice. Mm-hmm. From that ballot box, we have someone draw out three ballots randomly. And the three women that are chosen are at the meeting, of course. Each woman comes up and presents on behalf of her charity. So within about 30 minutes, we hear the three presentations, we get to ask questions, and then we have little ballot slips, and the women vote.
How much money would you say that you've given since you started in 2013?
We average about, with matching funds, we figure about $70,000 a year. So we believe over $400,000 will have been given in the last 6 years.
And at each meeting, each member gives $100 to the winning organization.
Right.
Was it everything that you thought it was going to be?
I think the positive that I didn't expect is the amount of women that have continued to support this group. I thought it might go, you know, start with a bang and then sort of, you know, deplete back down to 100. The women that attend just absolutely love the format. The winner of the previous month sends a representative to come and tell us what they're doing with our funds we gave them. And you're out the door, whether you have a kid's soccer practice at 6:30 or dinner with your family at 6:30, you know that it's going to be 55 minutes of your time and you're out the door. There's no solicitation. It is just literally a very efficient meeting. And what, for me, it has done is I've been involved in this community on various nonprofit boards that are very single task oriented and wonderful nonprofits. But this, I don't have children, okay? And I deal with estate planning and clients of middle upper income, you know, wealth. I don't really have any knowledge or didn't have any knowledge of what was going on in my own backyard. I don't know that there are programs for this and programs for these kids and Warm Kids and First Day Shoe Fund. And I just really absolutely, unless it was a nonprofit board I was on for Hospitality House or the KIA or whatever it was, I didn't know of all the things going on around me. And so this has really educated me of what our community's needs are versus what I see.
While 70% of the known membership of giving circles are women, there's also some groups for men.
My name is Cody Livingston. I'm the chapter president and co-founder of Guys Who Give Kalamazoo County. I work in marketing and advertising for the MLive Media Group.
Where was your organization founded and how many chapters does it have?
It was originally founded by my older brother, Justin Livingston, in Boulder County, Colorado, about 3 years ago. And we currently have 6 chapters with a couple more on the horizon, including a women's group that we're going to be dubbing Gals Who Give.
Oh, and when is that going to start and where?
There's a Denver County chapter out in Colorado, and the first Gals Who Give will be also in Denver County.
What is the organization?
So Guys Who Give is a simple concept organization that essentially tries to rally 100 men once a quarter for an hour to get together, nominate 3 organizations that serve the local county that they're serving. We get together, we vote, we nominate, we vote, and all write a $100 check to a single organization in hopes of giving a $10,000 gift to an organization that's serving our communities in our own backyard.
What year was your chapter founded in Kalamazoo County?
Yep, so we just had our 1-year anniversary in August.
When you started, how many people did you start out with, and how many do you have now?
Sure. We started off with 18 guys at our very first meeting, and at this last quarterly event, we had 90.
And to date, how much money have you given to the community?
So to date, in Kalamazoo County alone, we've given about $27,000. But the hope is to raise a $40,000 donation yearly to local organizations.
To learn more about the giving circles featured today and to hear a longer version of those interviews, visit WMUK.org. Next week on Morning Edition and All Things Considered, we'll present a shorter story about giving circles. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Arlene McMichael.